Israel is a nation often in the news, but seldom for its potential as an investment. Hi, I'm Rob West. Israel is a tiny country, but a powerhouse for investing opportunities, particularly in the tech sector. Brian Mumber joins us today for a look at Israel in a different light. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always a joy to have our friend Brian Mumbert on the program. He's Vice President for Regional Sales at the Timothy Plan, an underwriter of this program, and one of the pioneers of faith-based investing. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Rob. Happy to be here.
Brian, on one of your previous visits, we touched on investing in Israel, but I want to take a deeper dive into that topic today. I know Timothy Plan, of course, has a fund for this, which we can talk about in a bit. But first, why is Israel in particular an attractive place to invest, despite what often seems like incredible geopolitical turmoil?
Well, yes, Rob, as we all know, there's turmoil that erupts from time to time in the Middle East and with Israel, but it has been a country that is incredibly resilient. Israel has an entrepreneurial spirit that runs through their people, and they are really self-starters. They're eager to develop something new, and I saw that firsthand when I went over there. Everyone is just working, very busy. You go downtown in Tel Aviv, and you see this firsthand. Technology, of course, is really big on Israel, which I know we're going to talk about. But really, what's interesting about Israel is they're a country that culturally has a low view of debt. When I had the privilege of going over there years ago with a group and our fund manager when we first started the fund, we were visiting with one of the heads of finance over there, and they talked about how they sent the entire population piggy banks to remind them about saving, about how to be good stewards of what they have and how the country would be good stewards of what they have, and they would be in the saving world with them. And so this makes their financials just a really great investment. So it's quite interesting to see it firsthand.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. Let me ask you, though, is it safe to invest in Israel from the perspective of national security?
It absolutely is, Rob. They're regulated just like everybody else. Israel has their own stock exchange, the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange. They have their own index, the Tel Aviv 125, which when we first started the fund was just the Tel Aviv 100. And so those are the 125 highest value companies over there in Israel. And then even during times of heightened issues and wars that can occur, the economy just kind of keeps really moving. And I like to go back to, using the U.S. as an example, during World War II, of course, our stock markets experienced volatility, but overall the Dow gained 50% from 1939 to 1945. So even during times of peril and issues, the market and the country and business continues to run.
Mm. Yeah, that's helpful. We don't talk a lot about Israel's economy. How would you describe, Brian, its health and even the impact on stock performance?
You know, Israel can sometimes feel like a little bit of a forgotten nation. They were once big in the emerging market space, and then in 2009, they graduated to the developed economy space. And this was really a positive thing for them, but in the scheme of things, it kind of worked out a little bit against them because in emerging markets, they were picked up in all of the funds. And then once they graduated into the developed economy, a lot of the international funds, ours and others included, really focus on large cap developed economies. And so you get a lot of Europe, and a lot of Japan, and Israel being such a small country kind of gets left out of that entirely. Mm. But the economy itself is... it's really moving in a positive direction, especially with the the change of presidency here in the U.S., a little bit more of our firm commitment to the country, and unemployment over there and inflation are quite low.
Yeah, I know they are, and that makes it a fairly attractive investment, and I know it's often referred to as a startup nation. In fact, there's a book about Israel with that title. When we come back from our break, I want to dig into what is often seen as one of the most compelling sectors for investment in Israel, and that is their robust tech sector. We'll talk about that and how effective they are at exporting their tech products and systems, and what other sectors might be appealing to investors. And also, we'll touch on the Timothy Plan Israel Common Values Mutual Fund, which is a really easy way to invest in Israel. Brian Mumbert here today. Brian is our good friend. He's Vice President of Regional Sales at Timothy Plan, an underwriter of this program. We'll be back with much more just around the corner. 800-525-7000. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. As the weather warms up, we get to enjoy the simple things of spring again. Longer days, blooming flowers, time outside with friends and family. These moments reveal the goodness of God, and they are but a glimpse of what's to come. David writes, "How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you." That's from Psalm 31. The good things we enjoy today are but a foretaste of the blessings to come. And when Christ returns, he'll gather his people and share with them the good things of heaven, eternal life, peace, and rest with him. What a wonderful promise is ours in Christ. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Hello, this is Walker Wildman, Vice President here at American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've just had another great share-a-thon, and I'd like to thank you, the listener, for standing with listener-supported AFR. It's by God's grace and your faithfulness that this network is allowed to continue sharing God's truth and love. And it's only 6 days a year, 3 days in the spring, 3 days in the fall, that's all. Thank you again for partnering with us and supporting American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. With me today, my good friend, Brian Mumbert. Brian is Vice President for Regional Sales at Timothy Plan, an underwriter of this program and a real pioneer in the faith-based investing space. If you want to learn more, you can head to timothyplan.com. We're talking about investing in Israel today. We hear so much about Israel geopolitically, and it's a nation that we enjoy just a long history with as a nation here in the U.S., but what about as an investment? Well, Brian's been sharing with us some of the compelling aspects of investing in Israel. In a moment, we'll get to how you can do that easily through one of Timothy Plan's funds, the Israel Common Values Fund. But let's talk about one of the most robust sectors of Israel's economy, and that is the tech sector. What do we need to know about that, Brian?
Well, sure, Rob. I mean, high tech over in Israel is about 12% of the Israeli workforce, and it contributes to 20% of their GDP. So it's quite large. Many of the companies, you may have never heard of these names. most of them I can't pronounce. But a lot of them, you know, get absorbed into big companies like Apple and Google over here in the United States and utilized for technology in our phones and our computers. They use for their data storage, numerous things. One example that I could give would be car cameras. You know, Mobileye came out of Israel, and a lot of the technology that's in all of our newer cars today that will stop for you before an accident occurs or monitors driving came out of Israel through a company called Mobileye. And one of my favorites, Waze, a map app that was developed by a gentleman over there that couldn't figure out how to have enough time to get to work driving through the old city of Jerusalem, where there are very small roads that wind around. And so he decided to crowdsource that thing. And now that app is one of my favorites to use on my phone. And one of the more interesting things, not even tech, is cherry tomatoes came out of Israel. I couldn't believe it.
What do you know? Next time you eat a salad with cherry tomatoes, you can thank Israel for that. That's great. Yeah. Now, is the Israeli government supportive of tech advances in the private sector, and how does that affect the market?
Yes, the government is incredibly supportive of the tech sector because they see the value for their economy. Just to give perspective on this, Israel is the third largest tech hub by capital raised, and it's only behind Silicon Valley here in the United States and New York City.
Interesting. Yeah, who would have thought?
I know.
Let's talk beyond technology. What other sectors might be attractive to investors invested there?
And we talk a lot about financials a little bit earlier. Their concept of debt is just extremely important. You can't undervalue that because here in the United States, we get bogged down so much in government spending. Right now, DOGE is in the news all the time trying to cut spending and this and that. But, you know, here in the U.S., we have a challenge with our national debt. And over there, their cultural spirit that they just do not seek to take out debt really just lends their financials to be great investments. And then outside of that, I mean, there are just a number of companies that are doing things. We discussed cherry tomatoes. They invented drip irrigation over there as well, things like that. So it's things that we see in our everyday life that come out of such a small country, and it all goes back to that entrepreneurial spirit that they have.
Yeah. Well, I know they're working on exporting a lot of these products as well, and that goes back to the tech sector there and even intersects with some of our U.S. companies. Talk to us about how successful they are at exporting.
Yeah, Israel's incredibly successful in exporting. Over 50% of their total exports are tech, if you can believe that. Particularly, you know, Apple invested in Israeli tech startups a number of years ago. They bought a company called PrimeSense. Apple's bought another company called Anobit, an Israeli semiconductor firm that contributed to enhancing storage for Apple's stuff. You know, being over there and seeing it, you have all of these tech companies, Apple, Google, Amazon, Meta, and they're all there looking for the next big thing and absorbing them into their companies. And so you can easily see why so much of their exports is made out of tech. And so they're very friendly to it.
What about Israel's relations with other countries? How is that impacting investments there?
Yes, it's been good. We had, remember a couple of years ago, the Abraham Accords came about and really normalized relationships with them and other Middle East countries. Obviously, their relationship with the U.S. is great, or we wouldn't have all of our biggest tech companies over there in the first place. But really looking forward to this year, it seems like normalizing relationships with Saudi Arabia is on the table as well as the war draws to a close. And so we know Israel for the enemies that they have around them, but by and large, the countries that are there around them are very supportive.
Yeah. What about venture capital? Do they have a strong venture capital presence? And how does that relate to investing?
Absolutely, Rob. I mean, Israel has more than 276 active venture capital funds. And, you know, we've already talked about how Israel's really only second to Silicon Valley in New York, but this shows no signs of slowing down as year over year, the market really continues to expand. And as recent as 2019, Israeli companies were considered more popular than their American peers. And this is really interesting. Investment in Israeli startups grew by 140% from 2014 to 2018. And in the U.S., at the same time frame, that was 64%. So wildly, wildly popular in the venture capital presence for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Fund to Timothy plan, because I know you all make it really easy to invest in Israel, and your fund is the Israel Common Values Mutual Fund. What do our listeners need to know about that?
It's a unique fund, as I kind of discussed before. It's one that's not really present in your general international space. So if you're investing in a broad international fund, you probably don't have any Israel exposure in there. But what I love about having a mutual fund that has active management on it is that you're able to really react in real time to what is going on. So when you have issues like the war that occurred here, you have a manager that's looking over this to trim your exposures to financials if that's going to be an issue there. There are some ETFs out there that are more passive, and they do invest in Israeli companies, maybe not all domiciled in Israel. I think the other one thing that really makes the Timothy Plan Fund unique is that at a minimum, at least 80% of the companies in that portfolio do have to be domiciled in Israel as well. So that combined with active management, you look at the performance and the way things have gone, it's really interesting watching how last year drew to a close. The Israel Stock Exchange itself was up over 20%, and much of that really occurred in the second half of the year. So things can turn very quickly over there as the country really normalizes relationships, the war comes to a close, and it could be a really exciting space for investors.
Yeah, no doubt. And just like everything at Timothy Plan, I assume this fund, like the others, are screened for Christian values, right?
Absolutely. Every company is screened for the same values from abortion and pornography and on down to ensure that Christians get to invest with their values and at the same time support a country that is near and dear to many of our hearts here.
Yeah, very good. How can folks get more information, Brian?
Oh, they can absolutely check it out on the website, timothyplan.com. We have a section for Israel. We also have some pieces out there on why to invest in Israel and why someone should consider it. So that's something they can take a look at there as well.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate the deep dive today. We're grateful for our partnership with Timothy Plan and the great things you've been doing in the faith-based investing space for a long time. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Rob. Happy to be here.
That's Brian Mumbert, Vice President for Regional Sales at the Timothy Plan, a pioneer and leader in the faith-based investing movement and a partner here at Faith and Finance. Check him out, timothyplan.com. Back with your questions after this. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Stick around.
Backed by popular demand, the AFA Easter Button is here. The bold new stained glass design features the cross at the center under the message, "He is risen." This beautiful design tells the story in one line. It's a conversation starter, so you might share the saving truth of Jesus's death and resurrection. A 10-pack of buttons is $15. 10 or more 10-packs are just $7 each. Order today at resources.afa.net. That's resources.afa.net. He is risen indeed.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
A few of the benefits of a charitable gift annuity are a fixed percentage for the rest of your life paid to you, a partial tax deduction, as well as partial tax-free income. And then upon your passing, any remaining funds are then gifted to the American Family Association. So give us a call today at 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. We look forward to speaking with you soon.
Faith in Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. A big thank you to so many of you, more than 17,000 of you that jumped on board during our share-a-thon this week. We wrapped it up yesterday at the end of the day. And boy, it's just such an encouragement to have so many of you leaning in to the opportunity to fund listener-supported American Family Radio. But it's really so much more than that, because it's not only about American Family Radio, it's about all that God is doing through the American Family Association, AFR, just being one piece of that. It includes 1 million moms and AFA Action and The Stand and American Family News and so many other ministries under that umbrella that Brother Don started so many years ago. But God is doing a new work and reaching so many people through these airwaves and all these ministries. And all of that happens because of your generous support. So on behalf of the entire team at American Family Association, a big thank you to so many of you who are a part of that. We could not do this without you. And we are so grateful to be on this journey with you. Now, one of the things that you are funding is, of course, this radio program, and we bring you this every day, Faith and Finance, out of a desire to really encourage you, to walk alongside you as you steward the resources God has entrusted to you. And we want to be able to help you live as that wise and faithful steward. So if you have a question today, something going on in your financial life, give us a call. We're ready to turn the corner from specifically investing in Israel and kind of broaden the topics to whatever's on your mind today. So you can call right now. We've got some lines open. Even though the calls are coming in, we're ready for you. 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Before we dive into those questions today in the news, the market opened lower this morning. It was slightly higher at the start, but we have turned lower. That's, of course, as a result of all of the uncertainty, in the markets related to the tariffs. We did see a report of lower inflation again today. Today was the producer side. We had previously gotten lower than expected inflation data on consumers. Today it was on producers. That's all good news. We, of course, also have the pause on tariffs as the president and his team begin in earnest those negotiations that are expected to last certainly through April and May, perhaps even into June, according to the Treasury Secretary. The Dow Jones, the S&P, and the NASDAQ at the moment, even though they started higher, are all trading lower. The NASDAQ off the most, 0.75 point lower. S&P just slightly behind that, not quite as much down. And the Dow Jones off 0.6%, about 260 points. Volatility, the VIX, is up. Jerry Boyer will be by later in the broadcast, along with Walker Wildman, to weigh in on the markets and the economy. We'll get his take on, among other things, the action we're seeing in the bond market with U.S. Treasuries. What does that say as the yield is rising and they're selling off? What does that say about the economy? What does that say about the view of the U.S. and our financial system and our bonds, our U.S. government bonds on the part of the rest of the world. The dollar selling off as well. What should we make of that? We'll get Jerry's take on all of that straight ahead. Walker will also update us on what's happening in the latest in corporate engagement. So a lot still to come down the road today. So we will be diving into specifically the economy and the markets straight ahead. Let's dive into your phone calls, though. In the meantime, I know there's a lot of things on your mind, and we want to tackle as many of those calls as we can today. Here's the number, 800-525-7000. We're going to begin in North Carolina today. Hi, Patricia. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello?
Hi. Can you hear me? Oh, Patricia, looks like you're not hearing me. Let me try one more time. All right. Our team will... Well, let's try again. Are you there? Patricia? All right. We're going to work on that, see if we can get you back on the line. In the meantime, we'll go to North Dakota. Marie, go right ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question today is about consolidating our investments. My husband is retired. He was a state employee, and so he's got a pension, and he's drawing Social Security. He also has a Roth. I am going to be retiring at the end of May. I have a 401 at my place of work, and then I also have a Roth and a traditional IRA. My two IRAs and my husband's Roth are together at one financial institution here in town.
Yeah.
And then my 401 is through another organization here in town. How do you feel as far as keeping those separate? I know we've met with both. I'm very comfortable with the person who is the administrator of my 401. I would like to keep my monies there if possible. I know that the other person that's working with the IRAs would rather have us take it over there. Mm-hmm. Is it better to have everything in one place or,
yeah.
you know?
It's a great question. I actually like you having one advisor. I think with the size of the amount of assets you're talking about, there's benefits to having mm-hmm. just one advisor. In particular, oftentimes when you get over a certain level of assets under management, there are price breaks. So it's very likely that you're going to be able to save on the asset management fees if you're all one place. It simplifies things, which is really nice because, you know, you're not dealing with multiple advisors where you've got to have multiple meetings. You're also not dealing with as many different statements. A lot of times you'll get a consolidated statement from your custodian with all the accounts kind of in one mailing, either print or digital. I would imagine this is a fiduciary, somebody who's legally, you know, bound to act in your best interest. I think there's also some benefits just to ensure that there's not unnecessary or unnoticed duplication of investments between advisors. So I would pick the advisor that you're most comfortable with, that has the track record that you're happy with, that has a good rapport with you, you're happy with the ongoing communication. And then if it were me, I would consolidate everything there. It's a great question, though, Marie. Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Imagine having biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox every week, helping you integrate your faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. At faithfi.com, you can join a community of over 70,000 people who are already receiving our weekly wisdom email, filled with articles, videos, podcasts, and exclusive offers on resources that will deepen your understanding of biblical stewardship. Start your journey today by creating your FaithFi account at faithfi.com. Just click sign up.
Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
I'm so glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. The lines are nearly full. We've got room for a couple of additional questions. 800-525-7000. We'll get to as many of those questions as we can over the remainder of the broadcast. Also, Jerry Boyer and Walker Wildman stop by in the next segment. Looking forward to getting Jerry's thoughts on the market and the economy. I believe we have Patricia back in North Carolina. Patricia, are you with us?
Yes, thanks, Rob.
Excellent. How can I serve you today?
Okay, my question is, what's the difference between or what's a home or doing a HELOC?
Okay.
And
yep.
The reason why I ask is because my husband, I just got married almost 3 years, so I moved in with my husband. In his house, my home, everything is, I have a home as well. And so we are renting that out, Airbnb and that for income as well. So the house we moved in with my husband, we need to do some work to it. So he wants to either refinance it or do a HELOC. Me, I'm like debt free, and that's just making me nervous with the interest rate. The interest rate we got now is sort of good because we have like four incomes. So I don't. My thing is, can we just buckle down and just save money and do the repairs cash instead of borrowing?
Well, I kind of like the way you're thinking, but I understand we're wired differently. We have different temperaments. We have, with that comes different levels of risk toleration. And so part of being married in one flesh is to find, a path forward that understands and brings to the table how each of you are wired and then making a decision moving forward together. One of the rules for borrowing that I like to share with folks, and I say it's a rule, it's one of my rules, doesn't mean this is the right thing necessarily, but one of those rules that I like to follow is when it comes to taking on debt, we have to have complete spousal unity or we don't do it. And so I think you guys need to be able to get, and you in particular need to be able to get comfortable with this in order for me to feel really good about you moving forward. But let's talk about the options here. So you've got two homes. Did you say that your home is the one you're living in? Is that right?
No, his home is the one we live in. Mine, we rent out Airbnbs.
Okay, and what? And then, do you have mortgages on both or just one?
Just one, the one we live in now.
Okay, and what is the interest rate on that? Do you know?
it started out, it was a VA loan before, you know, I knew him. It started out, it was like four something. And then he took the COVID forbearance thing.
Okay.
And then so when he got back into that, they redid it. And his interest rate went up to 6.82. But according to what I read, the VA, they're not supposed to give their interest rate no more than 6.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not certain of that. But given that you're at 6.8 right now, there would be no benefit of refinancing unless you did a refi with a cash out. But I wouldn't recommend that just because basically rates are at or slightly higher right now than where you already are. And then you'd have all the costs somewhere between 3% and 5% of the mortgage, just the transaction cost to redo the loan, which is, you know, you don't get any benefit for that. So at the very least, I'd stay put on that mortgage until rates drop and you can save at least a point and a half, if not 2%, in order to justify a refinance. So then the question is, okay, do we put a HELOC, a home equity line of credit, on top of that, since I'm not recommending a full refi, that you can draw from for the renovations? Because basically a HELOC or a line of credit is like, I don't want this to scare you, but it acts like a credit card backed by your home's equity. So you borrow what you need when you need it. You only pay interest on the amount you've borrowed while the line's open. And unless you want to pay more, you can pay it down if you want, but you only have to pay interest. And then the interest rate is usually variable, so it moves up and down with mortgage rates. So it would probably be very similar now, maybe a little more than your current mortgage. But as rates come down, the nice thing is that rate would come down with it. So I think that's a very appropriate way for you to think about doing these renovations. It's one of the reasons I would borrow, because as long as you all have spousal unity, the other rule is the economic return greater than the economic cost? And you're borrowing for an asset that's appreciating on its own, your home, and you're improving it. So I think that's appropriate. The question is, can you all afford the debt service both now and in the future? So what if we got into a recession and that rental home, all of a sudden you went 6 months without a renter? You know, would you, you know, have any trouble making that interest-only payment on the HELOC? If so, I might say, you know what, we're not in a financial position to do this. If you say, no, we've got enough surplus, we'd be fine even without that renter. If that one source of income goes away, you still have the other three, you're good. Well, then I think a HELOC is a way to do it. Perhaps you guys meet in the middle where you say, listen, if this is a $40,000 renovation, we're going to try to fund $20,000 of it out of cash flow by keeping our lifestyle at a minimum and paying as we go. We're going to get the HELOC. We don't have to use it. But if we do, we're only going to borrow up to half of the project, you know, or something like that. I mean, that might be a middle ground. Does that all make sense, though?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because, we're comfortable without the rental property if we don't have nothing going on. You know, like I said, I work, then the rental, he work, and then he has VA, then he may be, you know, he's getting to the age he can draw Social Security, so there may be 5 income. So
yeah, got it. Okay, well, no, I think that's the way to go. I wouldn't refinance the whole thing. That's going to be too expensive, and you're not going to get any benefit out of that. Either fund the renovations out of cash flow or get a home equity line of credit or split the difference. And I think the two of you need to talk and pray through that. But I would be on board with you doing that as long as you can got the cash flow to cover the expense on it. Thanks for your call today. Let's see. We're going to go to Arkansas next. Hi, Lynn. Go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to know, I made a claim on my insurance. It was a new roof, and it was a necessity. Anyway, now they raised my rates, which I've heard they do. But what they did is they raised it. My next payment, I do 3 payments a year, is due this month, and they notified me this month that it's $163 over my payment, which I don't have this month.
Yeah.
Do I have any recourse? I'm going to look for another company, but I wanted to know your advice besides having my current, documents and comparing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. You really don't have any recourse. They're allowed to raise that and often do. It's probably time for you to shop it around. Usually, you know, the first couple of years, especially when you're coming in and making the change, you might get more competitive pricing. But I think there's a number of factors to consider. So you're going to want to look at, you know, what's most important to you. So USAA could be a great option if you're a military family. State Farm's known for their solid customer service. Amica or Amica is known for their high satisfaction ratings. Of course, you're going to want to check the competitive rates. So I'd get three quotes with the same coverage limits. Ask about bundling discounts, which can save you as much as 25%. Make sure the company has a strong financial stability and look at the complaint ratios with the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. You can also read a lot of reviews about them. But I think shopping it around is probably the best way to go with regard to considering how you might get that overall expense down. Hope that helps you. We appreciate your call, Lynn. Call back anytime if we can help further. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Do you see yourself too sinful for God to care? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
You know, one of the big reasons why people have a love problem with the Lord is because they haven't received His love for them. They don't really compute that. They don't really believe that God could really and truly love them without conditions. But He does.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
What would you do to save your marriage? How far would you go to open the doors of communication? On the next Focus on the Family, a pastor and his wife share how their relationship suffered from years of neglect, and then it imploded. Hear the steps they took with God's help to heal. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Well, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, helping you live as a wise and faithful steward of God's resources. Here in our final segment today, joined by Walker Wildman and Jerry Boyer. Really looking forward to hearing Jerry's thoughts in just a moment about the markets and the economy, the tariffs, also what's going on in the bond market. We also have new inflation data out today. Today on the producer side, we'll get that report from Jerry straight ahead. But first, Walker, I wouldn't want to miss this opportunity just to celebrate what God did the last 3 days with the amazing partnership we saw by more than 17,000 people during our share-a-thon. It was incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. We had a great time together, Rob, and we're just grateful for all the individuals and families around the country that have pledged to support American Family Radio. And Lord willing, and because of their support, we're going to stay on the air for the next year and the years to come, helping encourage and uplift families.
Well, and in part, not only are they supporting the radio ministry, but they're supporting all the activities of AFA and AFR, and one of those is corporate engagement. Let's start there today. Walker, give us an update on what you and Jerry and the team are working on.
Yeah, the latest company that we're honing in on through Boyer Research and AFA partnering together is Verizon. Verizon is a company that not only do we own some shares in Verizon, we actually use Verizon for some of our wireless needs here at AFA. But there's been some reports in recent years of them working with this group called the Global Alliance for Responsible Media, or GARM, otherwise known as GARM. And this is basically a major left-wing outfit that works to target conservatives and Christians with ad dollars. And they've gone after Elon Musk and yanked a lot of ad dollars from the X platform. But Verizon was basically in bed with these folks, working with them to target viewpoints, political and ideological viewpoints that they just don't like. And so we're asking Verizon board through the shareholder engagement process to conduct, we're asking the company to conduct a review of the risk involved with this type of discrimination. So our point is, and this is the case with every company we engage with, we think these folks need to be neutral when it comes to ideological and political and religious viewpoints. The company needs to be neutral. They don't need to be meddling around in viewpoint discrimination, and that's what we're focused on with Verizon.
Jerry, it doesn't seem like that should be that big of an ask just to remain neutral and treat everybody the same, right?
No, it shouldn't be a big ask. It shouldn't have been a big ask before, and it certainly shouldn't be a big ask now with what we call the vibe shift, right, since the election, because a lot of other companies are a great deal more responsive. So some of the engagement work that some of the others have done with PepsiCo, for instance, and Johnson & Johnson, they said, what do you want us to do? Well, we want you to put out a written statement, a binding written statement that your advertising is based on business considerations, not on, you know, viewpoint discrimination basis. And they've done it. And AFA had a breakthrough with Schwab that was very similar. Big company, Schwab, very influential. And they've moved back to neutral on their issuance of services. Verizon hasn't even met with us. And they tried to block the proposal. Alliance Defending Freedom came and helped AFA and offered a spirited defense. If I don't know if Alliance Defending Freedom is the one that wins all those Supreme Court lawsuits. The SEC sided with AFA and said, hey, Verizon, put it on the ballot or else. I'm summarizing it. So, Verizon, can you hear us now? the SEC has ordered you to let AFA give a speech at your annual meeting. Maybe you come to the table and talk, and you don't have to have a speech. You can just do the right thing.
Yeah. Jerry, I know you all are really leaning into the biggest defenders here, but do you feel like the kind of gravitational pull is going to be back toward a more neutral position just as you're watching where these companies are headed?
Yeah, I do. So you see what happened with Schwab, which negotiated with AFA, and AFA withdrew the proposal because they did everything we asked, or they asked. So I would say about a third of the companies we're dealing with are saying, okay, you tell us what we need to do, and if it's a reasonable ask, we'll do it. And they are. And I'd say about a third are just sticking to it. They don't care, even if it destroys shareholder value. I'm looking in your direction, Disney. They're still living in a fantasy world. I mean, they would not acknowledge any problem whatsoever with conservatives in America as customers. I mean, they are out of touch with reality. And some of them are kind of waiting to see how things go. Like, for instance, IBM this week announced that they're dropping a lot of their toxic, you know, critical race theory and DEI stuff. Now, I know people hear that and they think, well, wait a minute, we don't want to discriminate based on race. It's been a long time since any of the DEI discussions have been about racial discrimination. It's all LGBTQ plus discrimination against Christians. It's all like really far out there gender ideology that's really coming in under DEI now. So there are the ones who responded quickly. There are the ones who seems like they never will, except Target did. Congratulations, AFA. You've been at them longer than anybody. And there are others who are just going to see which way the wind blows, like IBM. And since the wind is blowing in our direction, we're getting more winds there.
Yeah, Walker, you have to be encouraged by some of the progress.
Yeah, we are. You know, sometimes you get engaged in these battles and you don't even know what victory looks like. But whether the Target boycott ending or having some of these concessions at the corporate level with these major corporations, the momentum's in the right direction, and there's a lot of cohesion in our movement that moves back towards neutrality and these businesses focusing on their primary business purposes and their primary customers. So it's encouraging, but as Jerry knows and as you know, we got to keep the pressure on.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that update. Let's pivot to the economy, Jerry, and let's start with tariffs. I know you were pretty clear when we spoke last week that, you know, at its core, and even as you approach everything through the lens of scripture, you're not a fan of tariffs. You like the idea of free trade. We recognize that God placed different resources in different parts of the world, and we should be open and free in our trading, and that's a tariff-free environment. So reset us, if you will, just on your thinking there and how we should look at this.
Yeah, my thinking is I'm not a fan of taxes in general, and we just have to be clear that tariffs are taxes. Now, you know, there's a time in American history when almost all our revenues came from tariffs, taxes on trade, but we didn't have an income tax then, and we had very low corporate taxes. So I'm not against tariffs. I'm not saying you have to tax income rather than trade. What I'm saying is the president came in, and the first thing he did was tax hikes, and I think that was a tactical mistake. Now, on the other hand, some of the president's advisors say, oh, no, no, we want to get rid of tariffs. Tariffs are bad. So we're going to raise tariffs to 60% or 150% or whatever so that tariffs will go away. Okay, great. That's an anti-tariff message. We agree on that. Yeah. But some, like my old nemesis, I can't remember his name, not Lighthizer, but the other one. You know who I'm talking about. He was all over TV. And anyway, he's one of the advisors to the president. Used to send me a lot of hate mail. So he's out there saying, no, what we need to do is permanently tariff. We want high trade taxes. We're going to basically completely redesign the global economy. So which is it, right? If it's tariff threats as a negotiating tactic to get back down to zero tariffing, that's really risky, but it's also high reward. Because if we end up with a zero tariff world, that really could be a golden age. But if we poke everybody, we're tariffing the whole world, including allies. You know, China's the enemy, but Japan is our ally, but we're tariffing Japan. That looked pretty chaotic to me, and markets responded exactly the way I told you I thought they would. To a trade war, which is to go down, not up. And I'm not just talking about stock markets. I'm talking about the dollar down to 96. The dollar is below parity with the euro. That's not a good thing. Gold at over $3,200 an ounce. All these things are blinking danger. And you mentioned the bond market. For a while, the bond market went down because people were selling stocks, buying bonds. A classic fear trade, a classic, you know, let's take the sure thing, the bonds. But then people started selling bonds, or governments around the world started selling bonds. In other words, they were selling everything American, not just stocks, not just our currency, but even our safe bet, which is treasury bonds, which that is playing around with loss of reserve currency status. And that's why even when the president rolled back some of these tariff threats, markets are still not satisfied, because we are really, conservatives have been afraid of for a long time what would happen if we lost reserve currency status. We are running a kind of experiment on what that might look like. And we're like kind of doing it to ourselves. Now, on the other hand, the president backed off, put in a 90-day pause. So he was responsive to markets. So that's a positive thing. So in general, I don't like taxes. Yeah. I don't like taxes on top of taxes, like new taxes without cutting others. And I don't like the idea that central planners, even ones that I happen to agree with politically, are going to be able to manage global trade. I really think, you know, business and individuals are able to make those decisions better than government.
We have just a minute left, Jerry. This is really helpful. If in fact it plays out the way the Treasury Secretary is describing it, that it's going to be a busy April and May and perhaps into June, and we reset the playing field, and this disruption from President Trump, which is probably one of the few people that could do it, was necessary just to, you know, create an environment where we could actually have these meaningful trade negotiations. If all that does play out, do you feel like this rights itself with regard to the bond environment and the dollar?
Yes, but it does send out a signal, are we stable? And there's probably going to be a risk premium in our markets for some time, because this really did send out a kind of volatility vibe that reserve currency status is about confidence in the regime. Yeah. If we send out too much, we'll blow it all up. kind of vibe, then they're going to be worried for a while.
But as you've said before, who's the alternative?
Yeah, well, maybe Bitcoin. Or right now, gold. That's what we're seeing. The alternative to the dollar is gold, which is why gold is $3,200 an ounce.
Interesting. All right, we'll pick it up there next time. Walker, Jerry, thanks, gentlemen. We appreciate it. Well, folks, big thanks to you for being with us today here on Faith and Finance. We'll look for you next week. Have a wonderful weekend. May God bless you. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.